Well, over the years, the Lord has always put in me and stirred within me plans. And I can be kind of a planner, but I'm not like an over-planner. I'm not like, my husband might argue with you on that. But I do like a plan. Like if I'm traveling somewhere, I like to know, I don't like to just pick up and go. Like I like to know where I'm going, when I'm going, how I'm getting there. I don't like to blindly go places, just in the natural. But in the spirit, the Lord has always stirred in me plans, plans. And even as I would pray in the spirit early on, just growing in God and seeking the Lord at a young age, I would pray about plans. As I would speak in other tongues, I would find myself saying the word plans in English in between speaking in my heavenly language. And so the Lord has worked a lot in me concerning that and concerning my own life, but I believe for the body of Christ, He has a plan. He has a plan for your life. He's not sitting up in heaven trying to figure out how to fix things, how to turn it around for you. He hasn't lost your plan somewhere in the files of heaven and forgotten about it. You know, He is very aware of your life and your destiny, your place in the body and your function and what He's called you to do. And it's very much before Him and before all of heaven that you and I be in our place, running our race, fulfilling our part in the kingdom, because it takes all of us to get this work done in the earth so that Jesus can come. I mean, we know that in heaven, that it says that they're looking on. They're watching us run our race. They're cheering us on from the grandstands of heaven because it matters. It matters. It affects heaven. It affects eternity, how you and I run our race. And so if we were to start tonight, I would probably start in Ephesians 2:10. And that is from the Amplified Version, where it says this, that we are His workmanship. We are recreated in Christ Jesus. Say, I am His workmanship.
I am His workmanship.
You're not your mama's workmanship. You're not your daddy's workmanship. You're not the product of society. You're His workmanship. Amen? You've been recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined beforehand for us ahead of time. He has predestined. Somebody asked me just recently, so you believe in predestination? I said, well, I believe that God has predestined and ordained some things for us to walk in, but it's my choice whether I walk in it or not. So yes, He's predestined some things. He's prearranged and made ready for some things for you and I to live. And you know what? It's by the Spirit that we do it. It's by the Spirit that we live out the plan of God for our life. And just as hard as maybe you are aware sometimes of the evil forces that are at work to discourage, to deter, to distract and to destroy, just as aggressive the kingdom of darkness is to get people off track, do you know that the forces of heaven are equally or more so aggressive to get us on the path that God has planned for us? God is not, He's not shaking His head going, well, there they go again, they got off. I don't know if they'll ever get back on. No, He has the forces of heaven and angelic hosts are working to help you, to direct, to intersect your life with the right people at the right time. They're working overtime because God is set on getting His plan accomplished in the earth, and He sent you here for a purpose. No one is purposeless in the kingdom of God. In fact, no one is purposeless on the earth. It's the enemy that's sent to kill, steal, and destroy. And how does he do that? He does it by stealing your purpose, by stealing your identity. And so we want to be, first of all, tonight, stirred up. I want you to be reminded tonight that God has a plan. Everybody say that. Say, God has a plan. Well, what if I missed it? What if I missed that plan like three exits ago? What if I got off at exit 79 and I was supposed to get off at exit 69? The Bible says those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you got off at exit 69, you have an internal GPS. That's more reliable than Siri. You know what I'm saying? To where they can say, you're ready? You're ready to get back on track? Holy Ghost is just waiting for you to say, I'm ready, Lord. I'm willing. I'm obedient. And as soon as we say, I'm ready, Lord. I'm willing. I'm obedient. The Holy Ghost is right there ready to say, okay, take a left. Okay, right up here, do a U-turn. All right, now take another right. Okay, now take another left. You know, sometimes we're so fixed on the exit that we got off on that we miss it getting back because we're so focused on the mistake. But God is a restorer. He's a rebuilder. He has not forsaken anyone. He's never in his history forsaken the man whose heart was after him. In fact, the word says that his eyes are roaming throughout the earth, seeking those whose hearts are perfect towards him. He's doing that so he can show himself strong in our behalf. And his way of showing himself strong in our behalf is to make his name a praise in the earth. And he does that through you and I as he's enforcing his plans through us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And when you think about being willing and obedient, if we've gotten off track, usually it's because of disobedience or an unwillingness. And so it's just an adjustment of the heart to say, whatever that thing is, whatever area that is. You know, for me at a really young age, I just thought I was going to marry a preacher. That was my goal. I went to school to study Bible and marry a preacher. I mean, that's not a bad goal. I wasn't hanging out in bars or anything. That was my standard, you know, and that's not a bad desire. But during my time at Bible school, as I'm praying in the Spirit, one day the Holy Spirit took me into a place in my prayer time. You say he took you? Well, in as I was praying in the Holy Ghost, I began to see some things with the eyes of my spirit. In my heart, some images begin to come up in my heart. And I saw myself preaching, and it scared me because I was afraid to talk in front of people. I'd had several opportunities to testify in church as a young girl, and every time I burst into tears or just couldn't say a word. So you can imagine, you know, the Holy Spirit gives you an image that you're going to preach on the mission field in front of a crowd of people from another land. I was like, whoa, God. What is this? So I called my dad and I told him, you know, what happened because he was a pastor at that time. And I said, Dad, something happened today. I was praying in the Holy Ghost in my closet, in my apartment, and all of a sudden I saw something. He said, well, what did you see? I said, well, I saw myself preaching. And he said, well, that's the Holy Ghost. And I said, I know, but it kind of freaks me out. And so at that moment, what was the Holy Spirit doing? He was giving me an image of my destiny. He was giving me an image of my purpose, because the image I had, although was noble and good, was not his plan and his purpose. And so if I had my heart set on, I'm just going to be the sweet wife who travels with her husband as an, you know, I pictured I would marry an evangelist. We would travel and I would sing the song and then walk prettily to my seat and sit down and amen my husband for the rest of the service. But that wasn't the image that the Lord wanted me to pursue. Now, how does that apply to you? Because at any point in life, if our minds are not renewed to the will of God, we can be pursuing something good, but it's not God. And so we can renew our minds to the Word of God just by meditating in the Word, by staying in it. But sometimes the Holy Spirit, He will give us images because He wants to redirect our focus. Because our focus, although to us that might seem good, it's wrong. And because it's wrong, it's going to produce the wrong fruit. See, if I had just been set on marrying a preacher, I could have married a slick preacher with character issues. Because my soul so badly just wanted, you know, that thing. Saw it that way. I saw it one way. If I had gotten fixed on that and pursued that, I could have married someone, and from the outside, it could have looked fabulous. Oh, look at Regina. She can sing, and she married that guy. He can preach. Look at them go. But behind the scenes, we're having issues because he's got problems. This didn't really happen. This is what, you know, maybe could have happened. So God wants us to see things, my point is, from His perspective. Because when we see things from His perspective, we have inside information. And when we have inside information, that's what I would call, that's living the supernatural life. And so the plan of God, number one, is spiritually discerned. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And we're going to be reading verse 9 through 13. And it says here, "Eye is not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love Him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." If we're to read on to verse 14, it says, "The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So the plan of God is spiritually discerned. Now we're going to look in Joshua. If you could turn to Joshua, the sixth chapter. Somebody say, "I see, I know the will of God, and I follow." Now, if you grew up in church, maybe if you didn't, I'll explain it a little, but growing up in church, they would tell these stories about how Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. We even sang a song about it. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. And so before they were to go in, and I'm going to read from the King James, chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into your hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." What I want to shine the light on is see. He said, "See, look, I've given Jericho into your hand. I've given it into your hand." In the natural, Jericho, we read in verse 1, Jericho was shut up. It was locked up. They couldn't get in. But from God's perspective, he had already given Joshua the city. But in order for Joshua to take the city, what did he have to do? He had to see. He had to see the image of God. He had to see the perspective of God. And so God is saying, Joshua, I'm giving you my perspective here. That I've already given you the city. I've already given it to you. If we were to study the life of Joshua and read, we know that in the first chapter that it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then your way will be made prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Joshua was commanded to renew his mind to the word of God. I believe the reason why he was given that command, it was his preparation to take the promised land. Because when the word of the Lord came to him and said, see, I've given you the city, then he was able to receive that word and run with it. You know, sometimes the Lord's trying to say something to us and we can't see it and run with it because we're living life out of our soul. Our mind isn't renewed to the word of God. And so it's important that the word of God be in us, that we renew our mind to the word, because that's the number one way we'll find our identity. It's the number one way we'll know who God is. It's the number one way we'll hear from him. But then it's the number one way we'll be able to discern when he is speaking to us. Because sometimes he's speaking to us and we're not even catching it because our mind, our soul is in the way. The soul can keep us out of the will of God. The flip side to that is people who are real sensitive to spiritual things. Some of us, sometimes, will think God's saying something to us, and it's not him. And you know why it's not him? Because our mind's not renewed. We're not able to discern whether it's him or whether it's not him. And sometimes people like this, I'll say people like us, we're real insistent that we heard from God. But what we heard from God doesn't even line up with the word of God. And so we have to submit ourselves to the word. Joshua submitted himself day and night to the word to meditate on it so that it would become a part of him, so that when the rhema word, when the voice of God came, because see that we know the Lord speaks to us in many ways. I know you guys are taught well. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through the inward witness, the Holy Ghost. He can speak to people through dreams, through visions. He can speak to people through gifts of the Spirit. Come to people. In my prayer time, that image, he was speaking to me. So there's different ways he speaks to us. But in whatever way he speaks and we sense he's speaking, we want to make sure that it's in line with his word. Because you know why? That's the track. The word of God is the track. It's the foundation for the plan of God. Amen? And so Joshua, he said, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. I have given it to you. He had to see that it was his before he moved forward. He had to see that it was his before he moved forward. He had to see that it was his before he could advance. There might have been some apprehension, but there had to be a spiritual revelation, a settledness, a knowing. You know, we had a good teacher, I believe, not the only teacher in the body of Christ, but I believe one of the leading faith teachers of our time, and he taught that before you go in prayer, get it settled in the word. In fact, his daughter had a tumor, and he was traveling with his wife in the ministry. He wasn't traveling with his wife. He was traveling without his wife, and his daughter had come up with some type of tumor in her body. And so the wife, Miss Aretha, she called her husband and she said, Kenneth, I took Pat to the doctor. She has this cyst, this tumor, and the doctor's wanting to surgically remove it, and there were some issues. And so he said, I could have prayed right then, but I said, give me 3 days, I think it was. Give me 3 days. So he took 3 days to meditate on the Word of God, to meditate on the promise of God, to get the promise of God in his spirit. And then he prayed. And he said, I knew that when I prayed that it was done. Why? Because it was settled in him. And you see, sometimes that's why we're not moving forward, is because we haven't gotten the will of God settled in us. Not just the mental knowledge, not just, oh yeah, I read that book. Oh yeah, I've read all the books on prayer. I've read this, and I've read, it doesn't matter what all we've read. It doesn't matter who all we've listened to. It doesn't matter what meetings I've been to. It matters what's settled in me. Because what's settled in me is settled in the spirit of me, in the real me, the real man, the spirit man. And what gets settled in my spirit, I can walk out in this life. If you get your healing settled in your spirit, you'll be able to walk out that healing. When we get the will of God settled in us, we can walk it out. Amen. Isn't that good? And so he said, see, I have given you the city. He had given him the city. And then if we're to look, let's turn to Jeremiah, the first chapter. In Jeremiah 1, and this is where the Lord, he's talking to the prophet, and he's calling him. He's telling him, he's trying to give him an image of who he is. He's saying, this is who you are. This is who I've made you. And so in verse 4, he says this, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Lord says, before you even had knowledge of anything, I had already ordained you. I already made you who I wanted you to be. God's a faith God. He doesn't wait to see the end result. He decides the end result. So he's telling him what he made him to be. He's giving him an image. And in verse 6 it says, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord God said unto me, say not I am a child. For you shall go to all I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. So the Lord, he's given him the forecast. He's given him the image. And what's the first response? The first response is from the flesh. The first response is, I'm not able. The first response is, I can't do that. And you know what? That's just human nature. So many times when the Lord tries to say something to us, that's our first response. I can't preach. I can't start that business. I can't move into that house. I can't launch this ministry because you're so focused on your flesh and where you're at in the natural. And so he said, say not I am a child, for you shall go to all that I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Verse 10, see, there's that word again, see. I have this day set you over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. God truly takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He looks for the insignificant so he can take it, put his power on it, and get glory to himself. He's saying, see, I've got a purpose. I need you. I need you to see yourself this way. I need you to see yourself strong, because I've got a mission for you to accomplish. And I believe that's what God is saying to the church today. I need you to look beyond yourself. I need you to look into my word and see who you are. I need you to rise up and be strong and bold and courageous, because I have lands for you to take. I have people for you to win. I have nations for you to touch. I have things for you to accomplish, things for you to root up, things for you to plant, things for you to tear down, things for you to destroy, things for you to build for the kingdom of God and for the plan of God. And as he continues on, if we were to read on, we'll see that they have a conversation. And the Lord keeps coming to him and he says, "Tell me, what do you see?" He begins by telling him what he wants him to see. And then he says, "Now you tell me what you see." Do you know that when we grow up spiritually and we come out of the place of having to be told what to see, to where the Lord can come to us and trust us to say, "What do you see?" Then he's not asking what I see with my natural eyes. He's asking me, "What do you see with your spirit eyes?" Because he wants us to be led by the Spirit of God. He's wanting us to move beyond the status quo. He's wanting to move beyond the parameters and the boundaries that this earthly life sets up for us. And he wants us to move into the more. Amen? Amen. And as I was praying today, my husband and I were praying in the room for the meeting tonight. I was praying about the church, but really I was praying over the region. And because it's so important that we recognize that a church is not about the church. The church is planted, is assigned to a region for a purpose. One prophet said this. He said, you can't compare to churches and say, "This church is doing this, and so we should be doing this. This church over here has this outreach. Why are we not doing that?" He said, because there are churches, they're painting churches. There are other churches, they're building churches. There are other churches, they're plumbing churches. They're all doing different works and affecting the kingdom in different ways. And so this church has a purpose, and it's to affect the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is the region. It's not the four walls of the church. Amen? So as we were praying over this area, as we were praying over this service tonight, we begin to pray, and I saw Boston. And I know we're in Andover, but I saw Boston. And what I saw the influence of Boston. I saw the influence that Massachusetts carries in the natural and in the spiritual. And I saw the importance. And I didn't see that before I came. But something about being here, I could see it. It's very strategic for our nation, the state. It's very strategic for the world. Because of the education and the training of leaders, yes, of young minds and leaders that comes up from this place that affects this state, that affects the nation and the world. Yes. And so it's a very pivotal part of our nation. And so what is the importance of that? How does that apply, or why should we be concerned with that? Because God planted you here. And you have a part in that. You have a part in affecting. You have a part of ownership geographically of what happens in the realm of the spirit in your state. And the assignment that's upon this state to affect the nations of the world. And some of that I know naturally, but most of it is just in my heart is discerning. I'm discerning. And so I was sharing with Darren, my husband, We were talking about what did you see when we were praying, and I explained what I had. And he said, well, you know what their state motto is. And I said, what's that? He said, Spirit of America? It's on the license plates. Think about that. Do you think that's by chance? So what I see is an assignment. We all have different parts. We all have different callings. You're called to different areas of influence. But we all have an area of influence. Whether you are in a career, whether you are a career stay-at-home mom, whether you are retired, you still have influence if you have a mouth. Amen? And so what I believe that influence is for is Jeremiah 1:10. See, I have set you this day over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. And so it's time to discern. It's time to discern who you are. It's time for you to see who you are. It's time for you to see the power that you hold to influence, not by force, not by anger, not by coercion, but by the Spirit. And everything in the kingdom of God by the Spirit operates very simply. It operates through words. And so the words that are to be spoken, that are to be declared out of your mouth, have such great weight and influence in this state, have such great weight and influence in this nation, have such great weight and influence in the world, the plan of God. You say, but what about my life? Your life counts, your plan counts, but you know, there's something about getting my eyes on the greater picture. If I'll get my eyes on the greater picture of why I'm here, I'll stop being so concerned about all this petty, fleshy stuff that's trying to keep me tangled up. And so God has an assignment for you. I believe He has an assignment for this church to declare and to speak some things over this area, over this region, through the words of your mouth, through the prayers that you pray. God wants to affect this place through you, through you. Brother Hagin would always say, he'd say, people ask me, what is God doing in the last days? And he said, I'm building strong local churches who know how to flow with the Holy Ghost. So a strong local church is a church that's strong in the Word and who knows how to move with whatever direction the Holy Spirit is moving. And so not too long ago, we were in Grenada for a missions trip. And this particular missions trip was a prayer trip. And so we had gone over to pray in Grenada. And so we were there with our team assembled, and we're praying over the nation of Grenada. And as we're praying, all of a sudden, in the spirit, one of the leaders, the leader of the team, she saw a seat. And she saw, it was like a seat of authority over that nation. And she saw the seat, and there was an evil spirit that had been in that seat. And in her prayer time, now this wasn't like like yelling and screaming and, you know, we're casting down strongholds. I'm not saying that there aren't times that you don't get, you know, a little riled up in prayer. I grew up like real Pentecostal, so I know about riled up in prayer. But it wasn't, you know, some like real intense. It was just, I see a chair. I see a seat of authority. I know I'm discerning in my heart it's a seat of authority. And I see this spirit. And then the Holy Spirit directed her to, with her words, to remove it. And so she did. And she said when she did, an angel, huge angel, stepped up and took that position. Isn't that awesome? And so that was a prayer trip we did there. Well, right after that trip, there were some really phenomenal things that happened in the finances, the economic status of that nation, a small little island. But it was just like things started to flip and things started to turn. And we knew that that had an effect. We knew it had an effect on that area. Well, how much more you and I, for what we see, for what the Holy Ghost shows us, the images he's giving us, he's showing us those things for a purpose. And it's not that so we can go out and try to make something happen in the flesh, but he wants us to speak to some things. You know, sometimes, you know, in the local church, I grew up as a pastor's kid, and I don't think this happens here, or hopefully not here, but people would kind of, you know, start seeing something they didn't like, and then they would start talking about it instead of praying about it. And what that would do is it would stir up strife and division, and it would cause, like, issues. You know, then the pastor, you know, has to deal with that. It's just a big distraction. But, you know, the Holy Ghost, some of those things were legitimate. But he wasn't asking them to get in it with their flesh and talk about it and stir up strife. They went the wrong way. They went the way of the soul. He's wanting us to address those things with our words because we're spirit beings. I'm a spirit being in a flesh world, in a flesh body. But I'm called to address, I'm called to root out, destroy, to plant, and to tear down with my mouth. I enforce the will of God with my mouth, with my words. And so he's looking for you to do that. The will of God is that we create with our words, that we create things. We can either create strife or we can create love. We can create harmony and unity or we can create discord. But the Lord wants us to create unity so that his spirit can flow through us, so it can flow through the body, so it can flow throughout the church, out of the church, into the cities, into the schools, into the universities, into the corporations, and cause a revival to spring up in the land. Because, you know, God himself, he created the worlds with his words. And he put that same power and ability in you and I to create with our words. And so there's a friend of ours who has been to heaven. I believe him. I know he was there because he shared the stories and it bears witness with my heart and it bears witness with the word. And so I'm going to share this one piece that he shared with us, that while he was in heaven, that Jesus took him out into a big field. It was a big open field. And I wish I could describe the grass the way he described the grass. He said, there's no shadows in heaven. There are no shadows. You know, the Bible says there's no shadow of turning. He said, no matter where you look, there are no shadows. Isn't that cool? I can't wait to see that. I mean, I will wait, you know, till the time's right. I ain't going anywhere for a long time. And so he took him into this field. And Jesus, he said, now, son, he said, say this. He said, say, tree, be. And so, I mean, Jesus tells you to say something, you're going to say it, right? So he said, tree, be. And he said, when I said tree, be, he said, I saw out of my mouth come a scroll. It was like a piece of paper, a scroll. He said it came out. He said it took shape. It took form. And it planted itself and up grew a tree. In heaven. And he said, I turned to Jesus and I said, why would you have me do that? Why would you have me to create the tree? And he said, because the Father put it there. So you could know that you could do the same thing I do. Amen. The Father had already planted the tree there. It was already there. Because God always goes to the end before the beginning, right? It rocks your world. It rocks your mind a little. But God had already been there. He'd already settled it. The tree, he just needed him, even in heaven, to agree and say, tree be. So that he could see see the image of his faith becoming sight. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know your exact part. I don't know your exact position. But I know that there is a stirring all across the world. I say the land, but the world. For the people of God to rise up and be who we're called to be. To stop messing around with low-level stuff and start being the church. Speaking, declaring, using our mouth for good, using our mouth for the will of God, so that the plan of God can be accomplished in the earth, so that his kingdom can be accomplished. Amen? So that Jesus can return. I don't know about you, but that's exciting for me to think that I have a part in that. That's exciting for me to think that I have a part. You know, in our city, we live in Oklahoma City. There in Oklahoma, it's the capital. And I was not excited to live there. I've never wanted to live there. It was not on my top 10 or 20 list of cities to live in. It didn't make the list. But the Lord sent me there. And I always say my husband was Oklahoma City's best attraction. And so I'm grateful to be there. Because my husband was, thank God I said yes to the call to go to Oklahoma City, because that's where Mr. Wonderful was waiting for me. Just kidding. So after I get to the city, you know, I'm a prayer, and so I'm praying in the spirit, and I start to see things in my heart over the city and start to pray. And I found myself interceding one day, and because y'all know I didn't like the city. So I was praying, and I was just crying, weeping over the city, and I was saying, my city, my city, my city. And at first I thought, is the Lord giving me the city? You know how your mind will, like, it's like, the Lord's giving me the city? And he said, it's my city. He said, it's mine. It's mine. I'm giving it to you. Every place the sole of your foot treads upon is yours. But this is my city. These are my people. And he's looking for us to take ownership. Because it's his, it's ours. Because it's his, it's ours. The assignment he has for you, it's going to be a blessing to your life. When you're willing and obedient, the Bible says you're going to eat the good of the land. But it's not just about you. It's about the people you're connected with. It's about the people who've not yet seen Jesus. It's about those who've not yet received. It's about the turning of things for the end. It's about the great awakening. But he's waiting for you and I to pick up his heart, to pick up his purpose, and say, yes, Lord, I see it. I see it. And I'm going to obey you. And I'm going to do what you say. And I'm going to have it in Jesus' name. One last story. Can I give you one last story? I'm not even sure how long I've been talking. One last story. A few years ago, I was working a side job. When Darren and I first got together, I was leading worship. And then I had a friend who called me. She asked me to do makeup. And being from the South, us Midwestern Southern girls, we love our makeup. So I said, sure, there was a little free makeup involved. And so I would work, I got a few giggles out of that. I would work a few hours a week, make a little extra money, get a little free makeup. And so I knew it wasn't my calling, but it was fun for the season. And so she said, hey, I'm doing this this event out of state. Would you like to go? And so I went with her. And one of the other girls who was there, she had just gotten saved. I think she had been saved not very long. I wasn't sure how long this girl had been a Christian. I just knew that I was told she's like us. She loves the Lord. She loves the Holy Ghost. She loves to pray. We're going to have a great time. And so we were out to eat, and we were talking about different things, the things of God. We were talking about the church. And this girl, she was so full of maturity, spiritual maturity. The way she viewed things, I thought, man, this girl has got it going on? She's just sharp. And I thought, surely, you know, she's been saved for a decade or more. I mean, because she had wisdom on some things that some of the people in my local church, I was like, they don't even know this stuff. So internally, I'm having a conversation with the Lord. I said, Lord, how is it that there are people who've been in the church for 20 years and don't get this? But then this girl, so I said, how long have you been saved? She said, 4 years. I said, 4 years? How on earth do you grow that fast and know those things in 4 years? And people who've been in the church for decades don't know it. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, she keeps saying yes. She keeps saying yes. You know how we grow and move forward in the plan of God? We just, whatever He says, we just say yes to it. Whatever. And I'm not talking about just shaking nations. I'm not talking about just mission trips and all these things that we deem as spiritual. I'm talking about, bless the Lord, forgiveness. You know? I'm talking about the things that He asks us to lay down, the things He asks us to step up to, you know, whatever it is, whether it's, it could be many things, whatever it is for you, just say yes. Just say yes. Just say yes to God. Say yes, yes to His plan. Say yes to His word. Say yes, yes to forgive. Say yes, Lord, I'm willing. I'll move forward. I'll do it. Because sometimes those are the places where we've stopped growing because we refuse to forgive, or we refuse to serve. We refuse, He's asking us to do this, but we want to do this over here. And He's saying, no, this is where the blessing is. Sometimes He's wanting us to let go of some things that are a distraction, pulling us and get us into His perfect will. Just say yes. Just say yes. That's where the plan of God is. That's where the purpose is. That's where the blessing is in the middle of our yes. Not just our yes, you've been saved 20 years, but the yes, the daily yes, the weekly yes, the monthly yes, the yearly yes. I'm telling you, and after trials, and you want to hold grudges sometimes, but they've done it 3 or 4 times, and you want to hold it. I mean, the yes is saying, you know what? Nope, I forgive. I let it go. I'm going to trust the Lord and let Him work in my life. Amen.